Tuesday, January the 20th, 1981, with Matt Sapitka speaking at the Hotel de Pont, where the 32nd anniversary banquet of the Wilmington Sports Writers and Broadcasters Association bears being held. Speaking of Richie Ashburn, the hospitality room at the Hotel de Pont.
We bought our team.
Rich, what was the most difficult part adjusting to the broadcasting booth after 15 years as a major leaguer? You went directly. There was no span of time in between to mull it over. So you finished your career, I believe it was 63, when you went into broadcasting. What was the toughest part you found adjusting to broadcasting?
Well, it had to be establishing some kind of technique or style, whatever you want to call it. It's not that easy, really, to just sit down behind a microphone and start telling people about a baseball game. I was thrust into the play-by-play right away because one of our announcers took sick and missed about a week, but that was the hardest thing, the play-by-play. I never really had that much problem doing the color because, I mostly knew what I was talking about as far as baseball was concerned, but establishing a rhythm, a timing, working with somebody, that was the most difficult part.
When you were in a broadcasting booth, were you able to keep score in a book using K's for strikeouts and, you know, the other indications there for different things? Were you able to follow the scorebook?
Yeah, I could do that. That was never a problem to me, although it's been a big problem to Tim Carver, who just made the change himself, because he had never kept score. I don't know. I think every guy in the booth has his own style. There are certain basic things you put down, as you mentioned, K for the strikeout and things like that. But that was never any problem for me in keeping score.
Did you have anybody, not idolized, but did you like their style in the broadcasting booth when you were playing, although you never knew that at that time you were going to be in broadcasting, I believe? Was there anybody you really liked, you thought they had a good style as a broadcaster, sports broadcaster?
I didn't hear that many games, obviously, because I was playing in most of them, but when the Philadelphia Athletics were in town, I used to listen to their games occasionally, and I liked Bai Sam's style and his voice. He had a nice, easy way to broadcast the games. He had a laid-back style, I guess you'd say it. And he, I don't know, I liked his delivery, but, you know, I never tried to emulate him because I never had his voice. I worked with Bai for, I think it was about 15 or 16 years, and yet I don't think that I did anything the way he did it in the broadcasting booth.
When you first started a broadcast, I remember I hear you, and I said, this guy's never going to last. There was the twang there and so forth, but now you relax, you're a real pro. How about that first year? Were there any negative comments or letters or people sending negative letters to you or any comments about your broadcasting that first year, 63?
Well, I suppose they were. I didn't hear much about it. That's one of the things that helped me in Philadelphia is that I think people were patient with me. I think they were rooting for me to do well. They liked me there as a player, and I think they probably overlooked some things that they might not have if it had been somebody else. But that's one thing that did help me with the fans. I basically got a lot of encouragement and occasionally some good advice from them.
Who would you name a couple of people who helped in you making the transition from the playing field to the broadcasting booth? Very instrumental. You give me a start.
Well, really, nobody helped me. I was pretty much on my own. That's kind of odd that in that business, you don't seem to get that much help from the people you're working with. Now, see, I was the first color man in Philadelphia, so there wasn't, I couldn't go to another guy who had been there before and ask him what he should do or what not to do. I think the best piece of advice I ever got was from the guy who hired me, a fellow by the name of Les Quayle, who at that time hired and fired the broadcaster.
Just one moment, is that Q-U-A, isn't it?
Yes, that's Quayle, that's
yeah, right.
Quayle with an E-Y on the end of it. Les Quayle told me when I first started, he said, for crying out loud, if you don't have anything to say, don't say it. And I think that's the best piece of advice I ever had.
This afternoon, did you watch the inauguration or did you listen to the news about it? What did you do this afternoon?
I watched the inauguration. I watched all of it.
Now, if Richie Ashburn didn't become an outstanding professional baseball player, what kind of a career would Richie Ashburn have pursued?
Good question. I went to college. I did get a degree in English. I don't know. I probably would have been possibly a school teacher. I've always had an interest in politics, at least an interest enough to work for people in politics. But I really don't think I would have been involved actively in politics. I've thought about that question of what I might do, but I can't give you an honest answer. I probably would have stayed in Nebraska and taught school.
Yeah, I understand you have a CB radio. Your handle is Cornhusker, is that right?
That is correct. I use a CB occasionally in my driving. And I know where you got that information, right from Delaware here.
That's right.
Because I think the fellow you're talking about, his handle is the Blue Max.
That's also originated in Delaware, Blue Max. The guy who wrote it, worked for the DuPont Company, Jack Hunter, wrote Blue Max, which
right?
later became a movie. Rich, why do you always wear a hat when you're broadcasting?
I don't know. A lot of people ask me about that. I like hats. I've always liked them. I wore them a lot as a kid. I don't really collect them. And if you put all the hats together that I have, I don't think they're worth $100 total. But they're mostly floppy tennis hats and rain hats or golf hats, that kind of thing. I started wearing hats as a kid, and I liked them. When I was younger and I worked out on the farm in the hot sun in the summer, you had to wear a straw hat or some kind of hat.
That's in Nebraska.
Yes, this is Nebraska.
Tilden, Nebraska.
That's right, Tilden, Nebraska. And I don't know, I don't... In the wintertime I wear them to keep from catching cold, because I catch cold, head cold.
But in baseball, you're secluded from the sun up there in a broadcasting booth, right?
Generally, yeah. We don't have a sun problem, but it's just a habit I got into, and I feel comfortable.
Did you wear a hat here tonight?
Well, I wore a hat, but I checked and it's somewhere.
How many Twinkies and Tasty Cakes do you consume during one baseball season?
I like, of course, Tasty Cakes, one of our sponsors. I do like their product. I have favorites. Twinkies is not made by Tasty Cake, incidentally. It's by a rival bakery. But I like almost everything they have. I love their cakes. I suppose their cupcakes and their... I like their, what they call, Tandy Cakes. I've been to their place, and I've seen their operation, and I think they make the best packaged baked goods of anybody I know, and it's nice to work for good people. It's nice to work for good people who have a good product.
What was your immediate reaction, Rich, when you found out that here you broadcast, you stay with the Phillies all through the 1980 season, they're going to the World Series, you find out you and your broadcasting booth buddies couldn't air the World Series?
Disappointment, certainly, maybe some frustration to go that far and then not really take part in the big event. But we knew it was coming, so it wasn't any shock to us. I don't think it was as hard on me as it was on, say, Harry Callis, who really was upset by it. But I, after the initial disappointment wore off, I kind of sat back as a fan and enjoyed the games.
Now, in every season, you know, like, for example, the Phillies in 1981, many great plays during the season, but there's always one play that stands out. Oh, just like your play in 1950 in the last game of the season against Brooklyn Dodgers in the Dodger Stadium, and you threw out Cal Abrams at home plate with the run that would have won the game for the Dodgers, which would have necessitated a playoff, and that enabled the Phillies to go to the World Series. Now, everybody remembers that play. What do you remember? Any one particular play like that during the 1980 Philly season?
I'll tell you, there were so many big plays and clutch hits, and particularly in the last month of the season that I recall, that it would be hard really to say one play did it. I think one.
No, not did it. Just one great play was a fantastic play. Had that one play enable the Phillies to win the World Series.
Well, there were a couple of great defensive plays late in the season. Actually, they were relay throws from McBride to Trio, two of those that cut down what could have been winning runs, and they were executed perfectly. That's kind of a play you practice on. One plain old glove play, I don't think, there was one that saved the game, or there were a lot of them that saved runs, and you caught me a little short there. I don't know if I can key on one particular play, but it was, I think that was one of the interesting things about the end. You could look back on it, and you could think of plays, you could think of hits by almost everybody on the ball club, where you could say, well, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for that one situation. And that was the nice thing about it. It was really a team effort.
Do you do any preparation before you go to the broadcasting booth to broadcast the Phillies game? Do you prepare at all?
Oh, sure. I prepare in that I will, get down the field and talk to players, and talk to the managers in both clubs. And just by hanging around and visiting, you pick up a lot of little things that might help in the color part of that. Outside of that, I don't do that much. I follow the box scores very closely, and I see what other teams are doing, what other players are doing. But I think everybody would do that.
Do you follow pro football at all, Rich?
Oh, yeah. I'm a great fan.
Have you seen the Eagles either on TV or in person this year?
Oh, sure. I've seen them in person probably half a dozen times, but I've seen them on television in their away games. I have seen or listened to almost every game they play.
All right, one final question, Rich. How about your prediction for Sunday's game, the Super Bowl game, Raiders versus Eagles in New Orleans?
Well, I think the Eagles will win. I think it's already been decided. I think somebody upstairs has said, well, this is going to be Philadelphia year, and that they're all playing that way.
How about a score, Rich? Prediction.
Score, okay, I'll give you a score. I'll give you 24-10 Eagles.
All right, thank you very much, Rich.
All